Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Im, and I'm here with Todd Adkins.
What?
Okay, so you know what I did recently, Todd?
What?
I agreed to change the intro.
Whoa. What is this, Ed's decision?
He said, can you just do one thing for me? Because he's been bothering me
for years.
Forever. Yeah. So he was like, if we ever make it beyond an episode 1000, will you change the intro? And I was like, you know, okay, that is when I'll change the intro, if we make it to episode 1000. So
I hope we make it to 1000. That would be amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be fun. Do you remember we talked about Pokemon Go on our like 100th or 200th episode or something?
Vaguely.
And you remember how it was like a big thing?
Yeah.
Well, I now have Pokemon Go on my phone.
Really?
Well, I had deleted it, but my kids are all into Pokemon right now. And I'd been hiding the fact that there was a thing called Pokemon Go for a long time. And then they, you know, talk to friends and see their friends playing and all that stuff. And I was like, can we get that? And I was like, okay, I finally caved. So, yep. Tomorrow. So with my son, you know, Christina will have girls' night with the girls and I'll have boys' night with Makarios. And so for boys' night, we usually play our Switch together in video games and such. And now he's like, but I want to play Pokemon Go. And I was like, okay, you know what? Let's go for a walk. And let's play together and go for a walk and get some exercise for our boys' night, because the days are getting long here. So,
you know what's fascinating? And we will get to the podcast very quickly because these are short. But I recently did a framework for Lifeway, of course. But I did a framework that was to help.
What Pokemon are you?
No, to help people understand our, you know, different areas of the organization, understand what is the difference between a trend and a fad? How do you spot a trend? Well, trends last years, you know, and fads are short lived. Trends last months. They may be insanely pervasive, and then ultimately, you know, they go away. The interesting thing about fads, though, is they're cyclical. As some fads, if they were strong enough, they'll come back. So again, they can almost be, you can mistakenly think they're a trend and then chase the wrong thing.
Okay. I'm going to stop you right there. That is brilliant. And let's talk about that on episode 600.
Okay.
No, because we've talked about trends. We've talked about the future of multi-site. We've talked a lot about that. And we did a post-COVID series. But man,
you're just trends trying to get me and Ed to disagree on something and go at it.
No, dude. I mean, think about this. Okay. So you bringing that, Ed's history in church multiplication church bonding set. I mean, this is going to be okay. This is maybe actually episode 600 is going to be meaningful.
It could happen. It could actually happen.
All right. So let's see.
The sixth time is a charm.
Yeah. So episode 600, y'all, it's going to be Ed, Todd, and I talking about trends versus fads in church multiplication. So let's leave it there. This is brilliant. I've actually been trying to figure out what we're going to be talking about for 600. But let's get to today's episode.
Okay.
We are wrapping up our series, potentially, on multi-site skills, this little mini series. So check back the last several even numbered episodes, and we've been talking about a lot of different skills that you need if you're in a multi-site context. Well, today, I wanted to address and talk about that classic question that I think most people, when they think about multi-site, this is what they think about. Like, this is the question that everyone wants to know if they're wanting to go and begin to be a multi-site church, or if they're in a multi-site church and are trying to pivot or go left or right. It's, do we do video preaching or live preaching? Video or live, right? I mean, Todd, like, how long has this question, like, has this not been the question from the beginning?
It has been the question from the beginning, and you'll have people that have strong opinions on both ends, or all ends, actually, because there's more than two ends of this question.
Yeah. So, okay. So this being the length of our episodes are, you know, anywhere from like 12 to 20 minutes. So this is not going to be everything you need to know about video versus live teaching and a framework to help you decide as to whether or not you want to do it one way or the other. This is not going to be comprehensive, an hour, 2 hour seminar on this. Rather, we're going to, what I wanted us to focus on in particular was in and around talent management, who is on your team and how all of that, because New Churches is a part of leadership, Lifeway Leadership, right? And all the work that we've done in around Ministry Grid and Leadership Pipeline and all of that, I mean, leadership development is core. So that's where I want to double click. And you know, I'll present my scenario because I recently stepped in, by the time this releases, I've recently stepped in as the lead pastor to Beulah Alliance Church here in Edmonton. It's, you know, almost, it was almost a 2-year process. It was just under, but I've recently stepped in and I've been making changes, and this is one of the areas that I'm changing. So Todd, let me paint the changes I'm making in regards to video and live. And then I'd love for this to just be our case study for the rest of our time together.
Okay.
Sound good? Okay. All right. And you know what? Let's just, to make it clean, let's just hear a quick word from our sponsor and I'll paint the scenario. No matter how many people you have on staff at your church, there's only so much you can accomplish in a day, right? Your church exists to serve your community, so the mission of your church and its staff is to reach as many people as you can. That's why productivity is essential for churches, as most of your church's success lies in its ability to lean into and leverage resources for optimum performance. And thankfully, our friends at Belay know this well. Belay, an innovative staffing solution with over 10 years of experience serving churches, has successfully matched thousands of organizations with part-time virtual assistants, bookkeepers, and social media strategists. That's why they're offering our listeners a free download of their resource, Church Leaders, Essential Strategies to Unleash Productivity. Let Belay help your church live its mission in your community by helping you juggle less and accomplish more. Just go to Belay, that's BELAY solutions.com/Lifeway for your free download. Now back to the episode. All right, so here is a scenario. Beulah, 3 campuses, and the majority of the time there is live preaching only at the broadcast campus. Okay, now we have a Spanish campus that has live preaching too, but I want to focus more on the English side of things. So for our one English video venue, it really has been this video venue where maybe 2 or 3 times a year there would be live preaching. But more or less, because of who our incredible campus pastor is, he will preach at the broadcast location. And that has been, for the last several years, how the campus has heard their campus pastor preach. Okay, so the changes that I have been making, and I've already started, is to actually increase the amount of live preaching at that and our successive, our next several English campuses, to go from maybe 2 or 3 live to 15 to 20 live preaches a year. And the way I'm breaking it down is my rhythm is I'm preaching 32 to 35 times a year as the lead pastor. When I preach, those messages then go out to our campuses. But when I'm not preaching at our broadcast location, unless it's like this special speaker that we've brought in for a special event or this, that, or the other, you know, let's just 15 to 20 times. Out of those that I'm not preaching, let's just say 15 of those times are going to be someone only for the West campus and for our online. And for our other campuses, it'll be the campus pastor and plus every other, right? And so math wise, let's just make it super easy. 20 times I'm not preaching. Okay. So if the campus pastor does 10, like 12 to 15 times, let's just say 15, then every campus we plant, there's an additional 5 times for us to develop our bench and to develop other preachers and communicators. So in a sense, from a leadership pipeline perspective, that's how I've been building it out, where the campus pastor, I mean, they're going to be preaching at least 12 to 15 times, which is at least once a month, if you just even it out that way. And then, but even more so than that, because there's going to be other guest preachers. So there's going to be a significant change in terms of, yeah, there's gonna be a lot more local voices preaching. But that's the grand idea behind that is, man, let's have a greater contextual voice and more opportunities for communicators to be developed. And as a result, who the campus pastor we are looking for, like the profile and the competencies for a campus pastor, they're going to be someone who wants to communicate. I mean, the person who doesn't want to and just wants to lead a team and host services is different than someone who wants to lead a team and then they get 12 to 15 reps a year.
Okay.
Yep.
I think it's brilliant for the most part.
Okay. So what's the for the most part?
Okay. So
and the other areas.
I actually did the same thing.
Okay.
So so we had kind of a teaching team that it's either, you know, it was either Lon or somebody from the teaching team the vast majority of the time. And then there were strategically so many times a year where the campus pastor just spoke to their campus. And so the cool thing about that was it allowed Lon to actually go out and visit some of the campuses and preach live there.
Yeah.
As well as it allowed for us to say, well, not everybody is going to be, I'm sorry, not everybody's going to be gifted enough to be on the main stage, you know, and go out to all the campuses. However, it doesn't matter that much, Daniel. This is where I say, for the most part, the guy who is not like, you know, an 8 or higher communicator, let's say he's the 6 or 7, but he's an awesome pastor and, you know, he manages the campus as well and all that. He's a pastor to his people. Those people don't care that he's a 6 or 7 because he's their pastor.
Yeah, you know? That's right.
And they want the best for him and they're going to cheer for him and they're going to love on him. And he doesn't have to burn it down. Whereas if you're on the main feed that everybody is seeing that week, you need to bring it. You need to be able to burn it down. And so that's why I say, hey, I wouldn't let it skew the role profile so much that you say, oh, the person has to be this level of communicator.
Oh, I see.
You might miss an opportunity, or you might just get a bunch of guys who, you know, really ultimately they want to be the lead guy or preach even more. And because that can sometimes be an issue as well. I mean, it just depends on how you.
Yeah, that's pick it up. I like that because part of it is I mean, you and I are similar in this way in that we just want to see people be equipped for the work of ministry, Ephesians 4, and to have cultures where development is the MO. Like we recently hired a couple new team members, and as I was talking to them, I was like, hey, one thing that you are going to expect, that you will come to expect about our culture is, man, if you're hungry to grow, you are going to have unlimited opportunities to grow. And if there's ever a point where you have grown beyond your position or whatever is available, then we're going to help you go even further and perhaps even to another organization. But I mean, part of it is we want to just help you completely walk into the fullness of who God has called you to be. So when it comes to the teaching side of things and the preaching side of things, what I like about your comment is, yeah, I mean, if you try to look for an A+ communicator, you know, someone who's hitting triples and home runs every single time they communicate, plus a great campus pastor, it might be a unicorn, or you might run out.
Right.
But part of the rationale for this system that I'm setting up is I'm trying to think of 2, 3, 4, 5 years out. Who are the individuals that they do need 2, 3, 4 years of experience communicating and growing as maturity wise as an individual and as a follower of Christ and as a pastor, but also in their skills. And one of the only ways you get better at communicating is just by doing it more often.
Totally. You were talking about reps. And so yeah, you may have, given Beulah's history and who you are and all that, you may say, well, Todd, actually part of our, this is actually an intentional strategy to surface church planters to be able to send them out.
Oh yeah.
And so I would say, man, it's a valid and great strategy. That's why I said it's not just one or the other, because it could be done in a couple of different ways, but I like that a lot. I mean, the funny thing is, I was actually having a conversation with a guy named Kevin Queen, who's a local pastor here in Nashville, like right before the podcast. And we were talking about you because he'd had a conversation with you recently. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? My style of leadership development is just finding A players and then opening up and letting them run as far fast as they want to. I said, my job is just to block downfield occasionally. And, and you know, that's why we still have a great relationship. It's because, that's both of our styles. And I love that. I love that, that's how you see that. And that's what you're going to be doing with those guys.
That's awesome. Well, lest we get too sentimental, I'll finish it off there. You know what? And here's the thing. If you want, if you're like, man, I want to grow as a communicator, you just need to find the reps. It's just, you're never you can't craft a perfect sermon. You can't deliver it perfectly by spending, you know, dozens and dozens of hours on it. And you're not going to be a great communicator if you only preach once or twice a year. And you know what? Your current context, you may not have the opportunity to preach more than once or twice a year, but there's a ton of opportunities that you can find to communicate, right? How are you communicating and how are you prepping for the time you teach your volunteers and leaders? Even with Ministry Grid, if you have Ministry Grid within your church, how are you doing in prepping and delivering your training for that, right? And are you getting feedback, right? So part of developing as a communicator is doing it lots, but getting feedback as you're doing it, coaching as you're doing it, and just praying and just being faithful, and God's going to just continue to open up that door. So yeah. Thank you. Thank you for listening into today's episode and this little mini series on multi-site skills. If you have ideas for other mini series for us, you can just shoot that to us at speakpipe.com/newchurches, or you can send us a DM on social media, or you could just go to newchurches.com and hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail, and we would love to hear your ideas. But you know what? On episode 600, the next time that Todd and I are together, but that time with Ed, we are going to be talking about trends versus fads for church multiplication. Awesome. Thanks again for listening in, and we'll catch you next time.